In today's radio theatre, we present Heat of the Moment, written by R.G. Moore and produced in Durban by Tom Meehan.
Yes?
Is the owner of the house in, please?
Yes, Sir Richard is in, but the gentlemen are in the dining room now.
Well, you'd better get him out of the dining room, haven't you?
Sir Richard is dining. He can't be disturbed at dinner. He'll be going out soon anyway. It's the hunt ball over at Storby tonight.
Never mind the hunt ball. I insist on seeing him immediately. Now go and tell him I'm here.
I shall do nothing of the sort. You can't come here demanding
will you
to...
please do as I ask? I will not leave here until... I take it you are Major Sir Richard Scott Carey?
Yes, I am.
I make no apology for interrupting your meal.
Well, that's quite all right. We've more or less finished. What can I do for you?
I've come to demand an apology.
An apology?
What for? For an incident involving yourself which occurred yesterday afternoon. I think you know what I'm referring to.
Sorry, but I'm afraid I don't.
Well, if the incident was so unimportant to you that you've forgotten it already, I'd better refresh your memory.
Yes, I think perhaps you'd better.
Yesterday afternoon, around 3 p.m. up at your stables, you brutally and savagely thrashed a child of 10 with a whip. For all I know, this may be an everyday occurrence up here at Wickham Park. But it's not an occurrence I'm prepared to tolerate. And I've come here to demand an explanation and an apology.
Oh, so that's it, is it? The boy up at the stables, I see.
Well, what have you got to say?
Don't you speak to me like that. To begin with, you may or may not know that that boy in question threw a thunder flash over my stable wall. It exploded a few feet away from a loose box with a mare in foal. That probably means nothing to you. However, secondly, the boy was trespassing on my property. And thirdly, he was dashed insolent when I caught him. I suppose you're his father, are you?
The boy has no father. His name is Alan Martin, and his mother's a widow. I happen to be his teacher at the Marford Secondary School.
Oh, I see.
Mrs. Martin found a bruise on the lad's thigh last night. She came to me this morning to ask if he'd been caned at school. As we don't go in for that sort of thing at our school, I questioned the boy and found out what happened.
Well, I can tell you now that he deserved a thrashing and he got one.
A child of 10?
Well, certainly, why not?
You had absolutely no right to take the law into your own hands and use violence against a boy of that age for nothing more than a childish prank.
Well, I'm afraid I can't agree with you, and I'd like to know what the dickens has got to do with you.
It has everything to do with me as his school teacher, as a friend of his mother's, and as a citizen. I'm saying that you unlawfully assaulted that boy.
Assaulted? For heaven's sake, man. He frightened a mare in foal.
What he did is not the point. Anyway, where's your proof?
Proof? My own word, I should hope.
As an officer and a gentleman, I suppose.
That was quite unnecessary.
Military rank major does not entitle you or anyone else to inflict physical violence on my schoolchildren. And the sooner some of you people realize the laws in this country are in the hands of the police and not the upper classes, the better for all of us. We're living in a modern society now, though you may not be aware of it. So I suggest you forget your public school prefect methods in future and get used to the 1960s.
And I suggest you teach your boys that even in a modern society, private property is still supposed to be private.
We're not discussing private property.
Is this what I'm
an assault on a human being.
How dare you come barging into my house in the middle of the dinner and shout at me like this?
I'm not shouting at you, Major. I'm inviting you to apologize publicly to the boy and his mother.
And how do you propose that I should do that? Issue a proclamation from the town hall steps?
If you care to draft an official apology and give it to me, I shall see that it's printed in Monday's edition of the Advertiser.
I shall do nothing of the sort. And I'm afraid I must ask you to leave this house at once. As far as I'm concerned, we have nothing to discuss.
I'm not leaving until I have an apology.
There will be no apology. I'm asking to leave. Otherwise, I shall have to telephone to the police and have you removed by force.
I wouldn't involve the police if I were you, Major. You're on dangerous ground.
Get out! Go on, leave this house!
Oh. What is
ordinary people aren't going to be bullied and pushed around any longer by people of your so-called military caste.
You will leave this house at once.
Richard!
Daddy, what's happening?
I say, can I help?
No, you can't. Go back to the dining room and leave this to me. Marjorie, go upstairs and take Sarah with you. I can handle this.
It's all right, Major. I've said what I came here to say. If you still refuse to apologize, you'll have to take the consequences. That's all.
Man's shaken you, haven't he, Daddy?
No, not particularly. All the same, it wasn't a very pleasant interview. Typical, sard-up young left-winger with a great chip on his shoulder. A lot of first-rate people didn't give their lives to make this country safe for embittered young socialists like that. I don't like his type or what he stands for, and I never will.
I expect he feels exactly the same way about you and what you stand for.
Well, you're talking like a socialist now, Sarah. I suppose you're going to tell me that you are one.
No, I'm not.
Well, you can stop talking nonsense. If I'm a member of the privileged class, which I am, because I was born into it, so are you. You're my daughter. And I think you might remember that before you start running it down.
It's not what you are, it's what you believe in. You can help what you believe in.
Well, if you don't believe in the principle of private property, you'd better get out of this house, hadn't you? And spend your weekends in the Marford Council playground.
Oh, for goodness sake, Daddy, I'm not criticizing you. It's just that I can see that man's point of view as well as I can see yours. Surely that's reasonable.
It is not reasonable, Sarah. Either he's right or I'm right. You'd better make up your mind which.
I'm only saying that... Oh, how can I put it without you thinking I'm against
you? I know you young people today haven't much time for my generation or what we fought for. You've been brought up to believe that everything is our fault.
How can you be so blind? I didn't say that, and you're not trying to understand.
I brought your
friend. I'm not blind.
You know what I mean.
Oh, what are you two arguing about?
Oh, it's nothing, Mummy. Sorry.
It's not nothing, Sarah. I think you ought to realize that my generation went to war to protect our wives and children from slavery. We're not warmongers. To hear people of Lewis's type talk about the last war, you'd think we'd all taken part in some monstrous crime. And we didn't go to war to provide fireworks for the hooligans of Marfa to chuck into somebody else's private property.
I can understand how you feel, Daddy. Honestly, I can. Nobody's challenging what you or anyone else did in the war. After all, everyone was in it. Only some people's deeds weren't quite as spectacular as others. They couldn't all be in destroyers or parachutists or commanding a squadron of tanks like you did.
That's got nothing to do with it.
Oh, she's quite right, darling. Some people had to work in factories all day and fire watch all night. The women had to bring up children under heavy bombing and queue for rations. I expect Mr. Lewis's father did his bit in the war, too. He was probably an air raid warden or a lance corporal or something like that.
It's nothing to do with the war. It's just that you and Mr. Lewis are hopelessly prejudiced against each other. He's a young and left-wing schoolmaster, and you're a not-so-young and right-wing country squire.
Sarah!
And you hate each other. It's not the First World War or the Second World War or the next war. It's the class war. It goes on and on all the time, and I hate it. I hate it.
And whose side are you on?
Me? I'm on the side of tolerance and understanding and people respecting each other. I hate whatever system makes you and that schoolmaster hate each other on sight. Before you've even been introduced.
Oh, there's Tony with his car. Oh, please stop arguing now.
Arguing? I'm not arguing. I can't get in the word in edgeways.
I'm sorry. I happen to feel very strongly about certain things, and I shouldn't have allowed myself to get involved.
You certainly should not.
Well, I think you'd better go now. Don't keep Tony waiting. Go on, Sarah.
Oh, I don't feel much like facing a hunt ball now. I feel a bit sick.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Richard, please. Now, you two go out and enjoy yourselves. Your father can well look after himself.
I'm sorry, Daddy. I suppose I ought to be loyal and on your side, whatever my feelings are.
Oh, indeed. I didn't know the young today attached any value to loyalty. I thought perhaps it would become one of those unmentionable words like patriotism or discipline.
I'm sorry. Honestly. I'll see you at the ball.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. How they hate us.
Who, darling? The young?
The Mr. Lewises of this world.
Yes, I suppose they do. They always have.
Well, are we right or are they?
I'm not sure anymore. It's all so confused.
If they are right, I sometimes wonder if any generation in history was ever so misguided as ours apparently was. This is the new Britain we risked our necks for in 1940. We've been fooled all our lives, Marjorie. And it's time for people with our outdated ideals and values to put our heads quietly in the gas oven.
Oh, you mustn't be so bitter, Richard. Sarah didn't mean it, I'm sure she
didn't. I'm not talking about Sarah, though she seems to be pretty well poisoned against us already. No, it's people like Lewis who influence the young today. Bitter people like Lewis, smouldering with hatred and envy.
What harm can he do to you?
Oh, none, I'm happy to say. It's too late. I've lived my life. No, it's Sarah's future I'm worried about. She's got to live hers among people with ideas like Lewis's.
Well, why should that harm Sarah? She's old enough to have her own opinions, and she's never been easily influenced. Not since she was a little girl. Sarah's always had a mind of her own.
Yes, you can see which way she's going.
Oh, well, Tony seems a nice boy. I gather they're not rich, the prices. He won't have a country place or anything like that, but he seems to have a good job in advertising.
He doesn't strike me as having much of a sense of responsibility.
He's young.
That'd make him have his hair cut if he was nice.
Unfortunately, Sarah doesn't seem to like him very much. She's so choosy nowadays. I worry about her.
She's not an old maid yet.
She could do a lot worse than Tony Price.
She could do a lot better.
I know it's important to you that Sarah should marry, well, someone suitable. Perhaps it's because of having no son of our own that you're pinning all your hopes on a satisfactory son-in-law. You are, aren't you, darling?
Well, naturally.
Someone brought up in the old traditions.
I should hope so.
Richard, knowing how much you really love Sarah, don't you feel the important thing is her happiness?
Oh. Why do you say that?
Well, it's just that I don't think we ought to expect too much. Girls are different nowadays. They won't marry young men of their own kind anymore just to please their parents. Sarah's the type to go in the opposite direction. She's unconventional.
Look how she argued against you just now over that schoolmaster.
Oh, I really don't think I can talk or think about that man any longer. The sight of him in here just now, shouting at me and ranting like some Hyde Park tub thumper, made me feel quite ill.
I quite agree. I think we ought to go to the ball now and show the flag.
Which flag? The Union Jack? Or the Hammer and Sickle? Oh, I wonder what my father would have done in a situation like this. Shall I tell you what he'd have done? He'd not only have thrashed that boy a darn sight harder than I did, he'd have taken his hunting crop to the schoolmaster as well and hunted him out of the county.
That would have been in the 1930s, darling. It's the 1960s now. Things are not quite the same, are they?
Oh, no, no, no. Not quite. Pah! Apologize to that lout! I'll see him with the devil first!
No sign of life yet, Mrs. Finch.
Well, Sir Richard was down for breakfast at 9. Her ladyship has hers upstairs. There's only Miss Sarah to come.
Well, I've had breakfast twice today. They produced bacon and eggs at the ball 3 o'clock this morning.
Oh, I expect you enjoyed yourselves then.
Well, I certainly did. But I think the family were a little put out by that unfortunate visit we had during dinner.
Oh, it really upset me too. To hear Sir Richard spoken to like that by that sort of person. I don't know what people are coming to nowadays. No respect for anybody or anything. I've never seen Sir Richard upset like that all the time I've been here.
How long is that?
7 years last May. Oh, I've been in service all my life, you know. Always with the, well, you know, the nice families. Started as an under-housemaid at 18, in London, Chester Square. Sir Joseph and Lady Ackerman. Oh, very nice people. 8 living in staff at Lady Ackerman. Of course, those days are over now.
They would seem to be.
Still, you don't mind managing like you have to nowadays, not so long as you're working for nice people like Sir Richard and her ladyship. That's what I always say to Mr. Finch.
Has Mr. Finch been in service all his life, too?
Oh, no, sir. When we married, he was working in Bristol for the corporation.
I see. Does he like it here?
Well, it took him some time to get used to it. He was a shop steward, you see, so it was quite a change for him coming here.
I'll bet it was.
Of course, they were in London a lot that first year. That was the year Miss Sarah came out, you see.
Ah, yes, of course. I didn't know her then, but I used to see ravishing photographs of her in the Tatler.
Oh, yes. She was often in the papers and the magazines and that. One of the debs of the year she was, and so pretty. I used to say to Mr. Finch she'd be snapped up quick, but she hasn't been.
No. Not yet.
Oh, here's the master.
Ah, good morning, sir.
Hello, Teddy. Had breakfast, have you?
Yes, thanks, sir. You must have had yours early.
Yes, I had to make rather an important telephone call.
Something to do with that schoolmaster business?
Yes, that schoolmaster business.
I must say, I thought that chap was jolly rude to you last night.
Yes, it was rather distressing.
Oh, there you are, Richard. Finch said you were looking for me.
Yes, I've been speaking to the assistant of the town clerk in Marford. They're all birds of a feather, I'm afraid.
How do you mean?
Well, I rang up to complain about Lewis. Being Saturday, there was nobody in the educational department. So I spoke to this creature. He was completely vague and offhand and couldn't have cared less.
Well, I suppose he was a very junior little clerk of something.
I'm quite sure he was. At least he could have been civil and listened properly to what I had to say. Got a perfect right to object to that schoolmaster behaviour last night. Well, after all, the man's a public servant. He's employed by the council and I'm a ratepayer. I contribute to his salary. I think that occurred to the clerk I spoke to. I might have been an attendant at the public baths for all he cared.
Richard, is it wise?
What do you mean, wise?
Well, isn't it going to make things worse, trying to make trouble for the man with the county council?
Make trouble? What the devil do you think he was doing up here last night? I'm not going to be insulted by a man like that in my own house and do nothing about it.
Good morning. Oh, sorry about not being dressed. Am I forgiven, Daddy?
Oh, I'm sure you are, Sarah.
I meant for coming down in my dressing gown.
You'd better go and have your breakfast, Sarah. It's late.
Yes. All right, I will in a moment.
I'm going round the greenhouse to see Finch, then up to look at the horses. Will you come, Richard?
Yes, I suppose so.
Your father's in a mood this morning.
Do you wonder?
Yes, I do, actually. Honestly, for a man in his position to allow himself to be put out by some silly little schoolmaster.
I can't see how you can describe him as silly.
Oh, you are on his side, then. I thought you might be.
That's a very stupid remark. But then I suppose I might have expected something like that from you.
Oh, come on. Give us a kiss and cheer up. Don't be so cold.
Oh, leave me alone, please.
Sarah, what's the matter with you? I thought I was...
Well, what did you think you were?
Well, I hoped I meant something a little more to you than just your lift for the weekend.
Look, Sarah, where's your sense of humour? This business about little Johnny What's-His-Name chucking a squib and getting his bottom tanned is a farce. Your father quite rightly showed that rude schoolmaster to the door, and that's that. Honestly, everyone's carrying on as though dear Mr. Lewis had challenged your father to a duel, hunting crops at 20 paces or something.
Very funny. You despise Mr. Lewis because of his job, and you're young and post-war, and you ought to know better. You're a snob.
Why am I a snob? I haven't said anything against the man. Actually, I think he's rather splendid. He's got guts, and he believes he's got a point to make. But I certainly don't think your father should be driven into the ground by a nobody like that.
Oh, it makes me blush all over. Shame to hear you talk like that.
What a sweet thought. I'd love to see you blush all over.
Oh, it's no good trying to argue with people like you. You're all infantile, and your arrogance and out of touch with today, utterly and hopelessly. All of you.
Go on. Who are we?
All you little half-dead, empty-headed, bowler-hats and Deb's delights, prattling away at cocktail parties in Pont Street. Ah,
you go to cocktail parties in Pont Street? I met you at one.
That's not the point.
This is the point. Anyway, if you despise me, I'm afraid I rather despise your somewhat unnatural brand of radicalism. Just because we live in an age when it's fashionable to venerate the unwashed and glorify the inarticulate, and everyone's falling over backwards to prove his father went down the mines, there's no need for you to turn against your own class or its habits. It may have its faults, but it's your class and you should stick with it and help teach it to move with the times instead of disowning it.
I'm not disowning anything, Tony. I'm simply saying that I will not accept that that schoolmaster is a nobody.
But if he's not a nobody, what is he?
He's a responsible person in charge of young minds, moulding them, Tony, moulding them and turning underprivileged children into worthwhile citizens and people. Putting your advertising job alongside that schoolmaster's, well, I still say that he's something and you're nothing.
Not nothing. Just a snob.
Oh, I'm going to get dressed.
Oh, Sarah, please.
Oh, leave me alone. Oh, excuse me, Daddy. I'm going to get dressed.
Now, just a minute, Sarah. I think we'd better know what that little blackguard of a schoolmaster's done now. Perhaps you won't want to defend him this time.
Oh? What's happened?
A police inspector has just left.
The police?
He came to serve me with a summons for assault.
Oh, no.
Heavens.
Lewis put the boy's mother up to it, of course.
What are you going to do?
Do? I'm going to fight him. If he wants to put me up in court beside a lot of poachers and drunks, let him go ahead. There'll be a lot of mudslinging and nastiness before it's over, and I promise you it won't all come my way.
Excuse me, sir. You're wanted on the phone.
Oh, who is it?
The Evening Standard, sir.
The papers? Already?
Look at it. All over the front page. Oh, why did he have to talk to them?
Well, what else could he do? If he hadn't, they'd still have put it in.
Isn't it awful? Look at this. Baronet unrepentant after assault charge. I was right to do it. And here, this one. Schoolboy alleges flogging. Flogging?
Sounds more like a cat and nine tails than a hunting crop.
Oh, I don't think Daddy should see these. He'll blow up again.
He's already asked what's happened to the Sunday papers.
And what did you tell him?
Well, your dear mamma, after hiding the papers, was about to tell a lie about them. But I spared her the shame by lying to him myself. I said they hadn't come. I'm unscrupulous about things like lies at certain times.
Oh, thank you, Tony. It's only delaying the agony until he's seen Colonel Whittaker. Otherwise, he'd be in such a rage all day, he'd make no sense at all.
Well, what can Whittaker do, anyway? Even the chief constable can hardly sack the policeman who served the summons.
Oh, Father seems to think he can put the machinery of the law into reverse simply by pressing a button. Just because they shoot each other's steps. He can't see that he won't get anywhere by fighting the case.
I agree. Public opinion these days is firmly on the side of the proletariat. Whatever your father does now, he can't win.
Yes, I'm afraid that's true.
A baronet up for assaulting a schoolboy will always make a splendid headline for the press. Even if it is only a smack on the bottom for trespassing. They'll have him on the telly next and crucify him in public.
Oh, Tony, I'm so worried.
Oh, don't be. There's not much you can do anyway.
I'm sorry I had to drag you into all this.
You didn't drag me. I volunteered to come.
You're terribly calm and unruffled, aren't you?
Well, it's easy for me. I'm only a spectator. My family is not involved.
I feel absolutely torn in two pieces. Like being on the rack.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Sort of mixed up. But not... Well, not, you know...
Yeah, not a crazy, mixed-up kid.
Perhaps I am.
No. You're just mixed up emotionally about your father and our friend. Divided loyalties, I think they call it.
I suppose so.
You couldn't manage to get emotionally mixed up about me, I suppose.
You are funny, aren't you?
I amuse you.
Well, at least it's a help to have someone around who's got a sense of humour.
And a car. And a dinner jacket.
Oh, you've got a little more than that, Tony. Oh, now, who can that be? Oh, I hope it isn't someone else from the newspapers.
It's a small, rather ramshackle car. I say it's Lewis.
Lewis?
Yes. And there's a woman with him. Now what?
Well, there's only one thing we can do. Mrs. Finch?
Yes, Miss Sarah?
Mr. Lewis has just arrived with a friend. Would you show them in, please? Good morning, Mr. Lewis. I'm afraid my father's gone out. Is there anything I can do? We sort of met on Friday night, didn't we, when you were here? Oh, and I think you met Mr. Price, too.
Yes, you did. Good morning.
I brought Mrs. Martin with me, but she'd rather stay outside in the car. Anyway, there's not much point if your father's out. We'll have to come back later.
Perhaps you could tell me what it is you wanted to see him about, and I could pass it on.
Very well. First of all, Mrs. Martin is the mother of the boy who...
Oh, yes, I quite understand. We know all about it.
When your father decided not to apologize for the offense he committed against her son, I warned him that further action would be taken.
It has been. The police came and served a summons on him just before lunch.
I know they did.
And you still insist that the boy was assaulted by Sir Richard, do you?
Yes, I do. Mrs. Martin went to the police yesterday on my advice and laid the necessary evidence. I understand the case will be heard on Thursday of next week.
Then why have you come here now?
I've come
What more do you want?
I've come to offer him one last chance to apologize to Mrs. Martin, both personally and through the local press.
I think you're wasting your time. The damage is already done. The London papers have got hold of the story now. I dare say you've seen them.
I haven't seen today's papers.
Oh. Anyway, I don't think Sir Richard is likely to apologize for doing something he believes was absolutely justified. So I think you'd better take the good lady back to Martin and make sure she knows what to say in the witness box next week.
Well, perhaps as Sir Richard's daughter, you would like to confirm that your father still refuses to apologize, if that is the case.
I can't do that. I just don't know. Not until it's put to him a second time. But I would like to talk to you, privately.
It doesn't look as though that's going to be possible.
You're quite right, it's not.
What do you mean, Tony?
I mean that you and our friend here aren't going to be able to talk privately because I'm going to be here.
Tony, please. I want you to go and leave me to talk to Mr. Lewis alone. Do as I ask, will you?
She'll be quite safe with me, don't worry.
Is that really what you want? To be left alone with this character?
Yes, Tony, it is. I want to talk to him alone.
Okay, if that's what you want.
And if you want to do something really helpful, perhaps you'd drive Mrs. Martin back into Marford in your car, just to save her waiting. Oh, she's outside in Mr. Lewis's car.
Yes, all right. Absolutely delighted. Anything to help. Whereabouts does the good woman live?
Up behind the station. She'll show you. That's very decent of you. Thank you.
Not at all. Pleasure. Oh, and incidentally, what has Mrs. Martin done with her afflicted son? Is he in the car, too?
No, he's with the people next door.
Uh-huh. Still showing off his bruises?
Probably.
Well, come and sit down.
Thank you.
I think I ought to tell you before we go any further that I'm not entirely on my father's side in this matter. Oh, but I certainly don't think you ought to have gone as far as a summons for assault.
Look, I've already told you I'm prepared to abandon the case in exchange for an apology. Those were always the conditions.
I don't think anyone of my father's generation should have to apologize for doing something he didn't know was legally wrong. Still less appear in court for it.
If your father didn't know that flogging a schoolboy with a whip was legally wrong, isn't it time somebody told him?
I still don't think it was necessary for you to intervene and bring in the police.
Whether he realized his guilt or not, it was necessary for me to make an example of him.
Why? Just tell me why.
Look, I'm not prepared to go over it again or justify my actions. Your father knows my views. I suggest you keep out of it.
I'd like you to answer me just one question, and answer it honestly.
Oh, put your question by all means.
If that same little boy, Alan Martin, was it?
Yes.
If he'd thrown a firework around Marford Railway Station and got a thrashing from one of the porters, would you have taken the same action against the porter?
No. No, I wouldn't have advised Mrs. Martin to go to the police and lay evidence of assault against a porter on the railway.
Ah, I thought you wouldn't. Now tell me, why not?
Because my intervention in the matter wouldn't be necessary. The mother could do it herself if she felt like it. She'd be exercising her rights in her own social sphere. But for a woman of her position in society to take on the lord of the manor single-handed needs a lot of guts, even today.
She'd have the police on her side?
Do you think so? Who's the chief constable of this county?
Well, Colonel Whittaker. Why?
Does your father know him personally?
Yes, he does. They're very old friends. As a matter of fact, my father and mother motored over to lunch with Colonel and Mrs. Whittaker this morning. That's why they're not here.
Oh, I make no further comment.
I know what you're trying to suggest.
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm simply helping you to assess Mrs. Martin's chances of success. A lone widow of Marford versus the entire establishment.
That's utter nonsense, and you know it. You're oversimplifying and twisting situations to suit your purpose. I'm afraid I believe in tolerance. And what you're doing is not tolerant. It's blind, blind, ignorant hatred of a whole section of the people, whatever they're like. I'm sorry for you, because hatred is sick and self-destructive, and in the end, the haters are the losers.
You're a very silly, ignorant girl. It's time you went back to Rodine and learnt a bit of history.
All right, be insulting and rude if it makes you feel better.
It does.
I won't remind you that you're my guest, because I don't suppose a thing like being rude to people in their own homes goes particularly against your code of behavior.
Well, well, well. Look, why don't you cool down and have a cigarette?
I'm too upset and disappointed.
Disappointed?
Yes. Disappointed in you. Oh, I rather admired you for coming here on Friday night and standing up to my father like you did. I saw your point of view, you see. In fact, I had quite a row with him after you'd gone. And I thought that if I talked to you myself and tried to explain why my father did what he did, you might be a big enough, intelligent enough person to drop the whole thing. After all, you've made your point.
Not yet. There must either be a public apology or a court case, one or the other. The principle must be seen to be upheld.
Well, all I can say is if you insist on going right through to the end to get your pound of flesh, then go ahead. Drag my father through the courts if you must.
I intend to.
Make him appear in public like a bloodthirsty medieval despot and satisfy your sick prejudice. That's what you want, isn't it?
No, it is not.
Well, you've made a pretty good start already in the Sunday papers. I think we'd better end this fruitless discussion. You're obviously every bit as bigoted and intolerant as you say we are. What's the matter with you? Are you tongue-tied now?
Yes. Absolutely speechless.
Why have you got to spend all this time and energy stirring up a pathetic little local scandal in a pathetic little local town like Marford?
I'm simply trying to uphold a very important principle.
You've said that before, and it's a downright lie. You're going for him because you hate everything he stands for. And I'd like to know what happened to you in childhood to leave you so full of hatred. Were you beaten with a strap? Did your parents quarrel over you or neglect you? Or did you starve in the gutter? Or are you the way you are because you're useless to girls? That was unforgivable. Cheap and horrible. And I'm desperately sorry. Oh, after all I said, to insult you in my home. Now you can go away and hate both my father and me equally.
That won't be necessary. I've never hated anyone for expressing an opinion. And I hope I never will. Please, stop crying. I lost my temper and I'm sorry.
I deserved it. How you must loathe me now.
I don't loathe you.
Oh, how could I say things like that to you when I don't even know if you're married.
I'm not.
Oh, but you do. You do sometimes go out with girls or have girls as friends. I mean, you are...
Normal? What do you think?
I'm always curious about men who haven't married. It's a natural curiosity for a girl who hasn't married, that's all. Do you think that since you've just hit me pretty hard right across the face, I could call you by your first name?
Well, that's entirely up to you.
Then I will. David. It is David, isn't it?
Yes.
David, I want to ask you something.
Go ahead.
You reacted very violently just now when I said something to you about being useless with girls. You slapped me rather hard. Did I perhaps touch you on a sensitive spot?
You want to know why I slapped you at that moment?
Yes, I do.
Because you were becoming hysterical. I had to stop you.
I don't believe it.
You just want to probe my sex life very badly, don't you? Do all your boyfriends get this kind of Freudian grilling?
What did she do to you, David? Humiliate you?
You've got to know, haven't you? And I've got to satisfy your curiosity, if only to pay for my coffee. All right. There was a girl, once upon a time. There was one, yes.
Can you tell me about it? I want to know. I must know.
Very well. She was a girl of about 17, I suppose. I was a grocer's delivery boy. I used to call her regularly, and somehow I got chatting with her. She was a nice-looking girl with long hair, quite plump. Catherine. She was bored. One afternoon when I called with the order, I found she was alone in the flat, in her dressing gown. She invited me in and gave me a cup of tea. Then she asked me to make love to her.
Go on.
I told her I didn't think we should. She got angry and impatient and told me I was wasting her time. She said she always thought working-class boys knew what to do, or she wouldn't have suggested it. She tried to push me away, but well, by that time I wasn't having it. I was going to show her. Suddenly, someone pulled me to my feet by my hair. It was her father. The girl started to scream and cry and say I'd forced her against her will. He fetched me a whack across the face and told me to go and seduce someone of my own class.
Oh, no.
I just stood there, feeling dizzy. And I felt like a piece of dirt.
And that made you hate rich people or girls in general?
Well, neither. It was, well, just an experience. I thought you might be interested to hear it.
I was. Very. But am I to understand that you're making my father pay for snobbery? Haven't you got your classes a bit confused?
Oh, not at all. What I'm fighting against is what he and your father have in common. Influence and privilege through wealth.
Are you sure that's really true? Are you certain you're not fighting something that girl's father said to you?
Such as?
Go and seduce someone of your own class. Didn't that stick in your throat? Just a little?
If I said it did, you'd be satisfied, wouldn't you? You'd be able to close the file on David Lewis as a sexually backward schoolmaster with a class complex and a psychopathic hatred of country squires. But it's nothing to do with class in the old sense. It's to do with a misuse of power. Would you like to put that on the file and close it?
Yes, I would. But it still wouldn't solve the problem of my father's appearance before the magistrate on a charge of assault, would it?
Oh, you're a fighter. I'll say that for you.
So are you. Just as stubborn as you can be. Oh, I don't know whether to hate you or admire you.
I thought you disapproved of hating.
Oh, I do.
Then you'll have to admire me, won't you?
I do, up to a point. And I'd like you to stay and have lunch with us, will you?
Us?
Me and Tony, when he gets back.
Thank you. I accept your invitation with pleasure.
Good. Oh, I still think you're being unreasonable about the summons, but I don't think we ought to discuss it any more. It's a matter between you and my father. Oh, Daddy. Daddy, you're hurt. Oh, have you had an accident?
We were attacked by some youths on the other side of Marford, by the railway bridge.
They were on motorbikes, all dressed up like Nazi troopers in black leather tunics and helmets and jack boots and covered in badges. Ah. One of them turned across the road right in front of me. I had to brake pretty hard to avoid him. Then one of them chucked a brick through the side window of the car and the broken glass cut my wrist.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, it missed your mother.
Have you told the police?
No, not yet. We decided. Just a minute. May I ask what you are doing here, Lewis?
Oh, he came to see you, to make a suggestion for a settlement.
Well, let me make a suggestion to you, Lewis. Call off your thugs.
My thugs?
You know what I'm talking about.
Why should there be anything to do with Mr. Lewis? It's in all the newspapers, Father. Everyone in Martha.
I hope you're proud of your achievement.
I'm sorry that violence seems to have bred violence.
You've certainly succeeded in breeding violence, all right. Now go, please. Go on, get out of my sight.
I've invited Mr. Lewis to stay for lunch. He's my guest.
You heard what I said, Lewis?
Surely you're not going to forget your manners towards a guest in your own home.
Don't you worry about me, Sarah. I shall spare your father the embarrassment by leaving of my own accord. I'd rather not put him in such a difficult social quandary.
I've invited Mr. Lewis to lunch. And if you won't have him to lunch in this house, then I shall take him out to lunch at my own expense in Marford. In a cafe or something.
Very well, Sarah. Go. Go with your friend. Go on. You're perfectly free to do as you wish.
I suggest you come and have lunch with me as my guest, Sarah. That will save a lot of argument. I've some corned beef and a little tinned soup at my digs.
That sounds perfect. Thank you, David. I accept.
Sarah, what on earth do you think you're doing?
I'm sorry, Mummy, but this is how it's going to be.
No, leave her, Marjorie. If she chooses to be disloyal and treacherous, the sooner she's out of the house, the better. She's not worth arguing with. I've finished with her.
Shall we go then, Sarah?
I think we'd better. This house is beginning to suffocate me.
Ah, there you are, Sarah. Mrs. Finch wants to know if you're staying to supper or not. You and Tony?
No. No, we won't be staying. We'll be leaving as soon as we're packed.
I see. Where is Tony?
Oh, I don't know. Isn't he here?
Nobody's seen him since just before lunch. Finch saw his car going down the drive.
And he's not back yet?
Apparently not.
Oh.
We thought you might know where he was.
He went into Marford, but that was hours ago.
Have you quarrelled with him?
I seem to have quarrelled with just about everyone this weekend. Everyone.
Oh, there, darling. You don't have to make your peace with me. It's your father, isn't it? He's very hurt. You know that, don't you?
Yes. I've hurt him terribly, and I'm very sorry. Oh, I wish he understood.
It's none of my business what you've been doing since you went off at lunchtime with that man. You're old enough to know your own mind, I hope, but it is getting on for 8 o'clock, and I think you ought to go and see Daddy. At least tell him you're back. He's very worried about you, darling, because he loves you very much. I sometimes wonder if you realize quite how much.
Oh, I know he loves me. I'm his daughter. But I don't want that kind of love, nursery love. I want him to realize that I've grown up and I'm capable of thinking for myself. I've a right to my own opinion, surely.
Oh, I think he realizes that, darling, but it's been rather a shock for him. We've never faced a situation like this before as a family, have we? We've always managed the few weekends you've been here to laugh and have fun and avoid arguing about politics and things. And he's seen so little of you over the last 5 or 6 years since you left home that he still looks on you as a child. Fathers have a way of doing that, you know.
You don't, though, do you?
Not altogether. I didn't always get on with my father, but, well, I wouldn't have spoken to my father like you did. It was very thoughtless, my darling. You find that man attractive, don't you?
Who, Tony?
Mr. Lewis.
Oh, I think he's a very interesting and worthwhile person. He's quite a sense of humour, you know. It's remarkable how different people can be once you get close to them.
Did you have lunch in a cafe?
Oh, no. Somewhere? No, in his rooms. He lives over the fish shop in the High Street.
Oh.
We made soup in his kitchenette and we opened a tin of sardines. Then I came back on the bus. Oh, I wouldn't let him drive me back, you see. He had all his essays to correct for tomorrow.
What did you find to talk about all afternoon?
Oh, life, politics, religion, his work, his ambitions.
Sex?
Oh, yes, sex. In an abstract sort of way.
And you like him?
I respect him. I find him very intelligent and very interesting. But I'm not in love with him, if that's what you're thinking.
Yes, of course I was.
Well, it's nothing like that at all, darling, I promise you. Oh, Tony. Oh, Tony, thank goodness you've come.
Hello. Are you all right? All in one piece, I hope. Where's Lewis? He looked like getting dug in for the afternoon. I'm sorry I didn't get back for lunch. I took some people in Martha to the pictures.
We were just beginning to wonder where you'd got to. Was it a good film?
I honestly couldn't tell you. Alan asked so many idiot questions, I couldn't follow the plot.
Alan?
Alan Martin, the little chap your father chastised. First, we picked up the little perisher from his minders next door, and then we had some fish and chips from the van by the station. Then I bought the lad an ice cream cornet, most of which he poured onto my trousers, and some sweets for Mum, and the three of us had a jolly afternoon in the 3 and 9s at the Rex.
Good heavens, so that's where you've been.
What an afternoon. Alan nudging me every 5 minutes with his dripping cornet to ask me questions, Mum Martin telling him to shut up, a couple behind us munching potato crisps, and the actors shouting accusations at each other. It was chaos. The fourth time Martin's ice cream cornet dribbled over my trousers, his Mum belted him with her handbag. Nearly knocked him out of his seat. Talk about assault and battery.
What did you talk about all the afternoon?
Oh, all sorts of things. About fields and fences and private property and trespassing and stud farms and how horses are born, and how some people love their animals more than their fellow men.
Oh, Tony.
And then I left them at their little house, and here I am. Well, I'll go and change and get myself packed. Coming, Sarah?
Oh, yes, in a moment.
Oh, hello, sir. Any silver linings yet?
No, not yet, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm sure there will be, sir. Bound to be.
Well, I'll go and put your things in your case, Sarah. Stay here and talk to your father.
Yes, all right. Thanks, Mummy.
So, you're leaving before supper, are you?
Yes. Otherwise, we get back to London so late, you see, and we both have to get to work tomorrow.
Oh, yes, 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 indeed. I see, yes. Let us know when you want to come for the weekend again.
Oh, yes, of course I will.
Perhaps in the spring, when the weather gets a bit warmer.
Yes, probably. It's a bit early to say now.
Yes, of course it is, yes.
I think perhaps I'd better go up and help Mummy. She won't know what to pack.
No, no, of course. Well, all right, Sarah. Go up to your mother.
Oh,
Oh, sir, that schoolmaster's here. He says he's got something important to say to you.
You'd better ask him in then, Mrs. Finch.
Are you sure, sir?
Yes, Mrs. Finch, quite sure. Show him in, please.
All right. He'll see you if you come in, please.
Thank you. I've come to tell you, and I'm sure you'll be relieved to hear it, that I intend to stop this prosecution for assault.
Do you? And what about your demand for an apology?
We'll forget about the apology. I think you've been humiliated enough already.
What are your conditions, your terms?
There aren't any. As far as I'm concerned, I've won my point. And there's another thing, too. When this thing started, I hadn't had the pleasure of meeting your daughter, Sarah. I happen to respect her very much, and... Well, if there were a few more like her in the world, there'd be some hope for the aristocracy.
What are you trying to suggest by that, Lewis?
Nothing beyond what I just said.
I want the truth, Lewis. Is she in love with you?
Why not ask her yourself? Or aren't you speaking to each other?
Will you please answer my question?
All right, let me make it clear that there is nothing between me and your daughter but mutual respect and understanding. And I intend to stop prosecution simply because there is no further point to be made. You'd only be fined a small sum of money.
Well, that's open to question. Personally, I doubt it.
Very well, then. You can prove it, if you wish, by attending court.
And that's exactly what I propose to do. I intend to appear in court next Thursday, whether you like it or not, and tell the whole story. All of it. Then we'll see who comes off best. The public will see you for what you are. An embittered man, trying to smear and discredit me over a trivial incident. Well, the chairman of the bench happens to be a personal friend of mine. He's fond of horses, and he's a man of my own generation.
Naturally. That's my point.
And of course he'll have to fine me for technical assault. Because that's the law. He's bound to support the police. 10 till 1, he'll say the charge had never been brought, and I hope he wraps you over the knuckles for wasting the police's time and the public's money.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Major, but your conviction is of no further interest to me, so the case will not be heard.
It is not for you to say. You can't stop it now. It's in the hands of the police.
There can be no case without evidence. If no evidence for the prosecution is offered, the hearing will be cancelled.
The police are the evidence. They've got Mrs. Martin's statement. She can't go back on it now.
She can't be forced to give evidence.
We'll soon find out about that. I shall ring up the chief constable.
That's right. Rally the forces of the establishment.
Leave my house at once, will you? For the last time, get out. I never want to see you here again.
As you wish, Major.
David, I didn't know you were here.
Mr. Lewis is going.
I came to tell your father that I'm willing to stop the case being heard in court. Now, it seems, he prefers to go through with it. He's made up his mind, and I regret it very much.
Oh, stop fighting each other. I can't bear it anymore. Oh, please don't go on hating like this. It's so pointless and stupid. Please try to understand each other, can't you? Please.
I told you on Friday evening, Sarah, and I repeat it now. Either he's right or I'm right. We can't both be right. You've got to choose which.
There's a letter for you, Richard. A woman on a cycle brought it to the back door. She's gone now. She said there wouldn't be an answer.
Oh, thank you, my dear. Oh, look, I'm afraid I left my glasses upstairs. Would you mind?
Oh, all right. It appears to be from Mrs. Martin and her son. This one is the one from the mother. Dear Sir Richard, I've told them at the police station I don't want any more trouble over my boy and what he done last Thursday. He is sorry to cause all the trouble and sends letter enclosed he wrote on his own. Yours truly, Gertrude Martin. Oh, and, well, then there's this one. This is one, the one from the boy. Dear Sir Richard, I know now it was wrong of me and my... he's crossed out mates and put friends, my friends, to throw the bangers in your place where the horses are. I'm very sorry it happened. I deserved the punishment you gave me, and I'm sorry for all the trouble I've caused you. I hope the horse will have her baby okay and no harm done. Yours faithfully, Alan Martin.
It took guts to write that letter off his own bat.
Yes, it's the hardest thing in the world to admit one's in the wrong and apologize. Only very strong people can afford to do that.
Well, if you see Mrs. Martin at the school tomorrow, Mr. Lewis, perhaps you would tell her we're very touched by Alan's letter and hers, and that I'll be writing to her. When the foal is born, Alan might like to come up here for tea one day with his mother, and we could show it to him if he's interested.
I'll tell her. I'm sure the boy will appreciate your invitation. If you still want that case to be heard in court, I suggest you produce those letters as an admission of the boy's guilt.
No, I don't think that'll be necessary, Lewis. Or desirable. No, the letter's addressed to me personally, and what's in them is still, and always was, a private matter between the boy, his mother, and myself. Nothing to do with anybody else. Nothing. Now, the case can be stopped at once. The boy's apologized. That's enough for me. And his mother wants no more trouble. I think we should respect her wishes.
Well, that suits me. At least we've reached agreement on something. No court case. Well, that's that. I'll go now.
Would you could have a drink before you go?
Well, I have a lot of work. Well, as your daughter will tell you, 18 essays to correct before tomorrow morning.
I see. Well, some other time.
Yes, some other time.
Are you ready, Tony? I think we ought to go now. It's getting late.
Okay. I said, well, thanks awfully for having me.
Well, I'm afraid it wasn't a very cheerful weekend for you. I'm so sorry.
No, not at all. It was fascinating. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Sir Richard.
Well, off you go then. Go on, both of you. You must come again soon, Tony. Oh,
thanks.
Goodbye, Daddy. Bye-bye, Mummy.
Bye-bye, darling. Drive carefully, won't you, Tony?
Yes, I will.
Enjoy yourselves. Sarah called him a drip the other night and said he wasn't her type. They do change their minds, the young.
Oh, he's not a bad chap. I just wish he'd get his hair cut.
We'll have to have Mr. Lewis up here for a drink sometime.
I suppose so.
Oh, we can always get a few other people and it won't be so bad.
What sort of people?
Well, we could always ask Dr. Watts and his wife, and the vicar, I suppose, and that little man with the stables over at Upton. What's his name? Captain Matthews. And his son, the estate agent. It's time we had them. Perhaps Mr. Mills at the back. He's so awfully good about the Red Cross.
You have just heard Heat of the Moment, written by R.G. Moore. It was produced in Durban by Tom Meehan at the studios of Springbok Radio Productions.